I'm longing for dear old Broadway, longing for dear old town. Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys all know me, back where the girls all bow.
This is the North Carolina Theatre Stories Podcast. I am thy host, Sir James Johnson, here with mine own lovely co-host, Dame Ruth Goldstein. Thee can hark to this and all previous episodes at nctheaterstories.com. Theaters spelled with an E-R. We art coming to thee from sunny Fayetteville, North Carolina, and the present day we are going to be-est talking about the Bard himself and the upcoming season of Sweet Tea Shakespeare. Beforeth we getteth to thatteth. Okay, sound like I have a lisp. Before we get to that.
That was funny.
Thank you.
That was really funny. I'm like dying over here.
Okay. Well, at least somebody thought it. So we're just trying to entertain ourselves.
My stomach hurts. Okay. Oh my god, okay, we're wasting so much time.
Alright. Whew. So before we get to it.
I cannot. Like right. The before we get us to that is.
Okay. But those are real Shakespearean words. So he goes always before that getteth thatteth.
You know. Did you read the King James version?
Yes.
Get it, yeah. King James.
That's your name. Yeah, because I'm James. Yeah. We're here all night.
I'm on drugs.
That is my lovely co-host Ruth Goldstein speaking. Dame Ruth Goldstein. We want to, before we get to the Shakespeare stuff from Sweet Tea Shakespeare, I did want to touch on some upcoming stuff that is on its way. So let's do this real quick. Okay. On July 1st, the Gilbert Theater will be holding their fourth annual Pryor Awards event at 6 p.m. The Pryor Awards is, of course, named after Lynn Pryor, who founded the Gilbert Theater and founded this podcast.
Woo-hoo!
So, woo! Get it, Lynn. Lynn will not be attending this event. But
he's not going to his own awards show?
Well, he's in Vermont. So he says that he's going to Skype it, though. He's going to,
very modern.
Yeah. It's,
he's so fetch.
Yeah. Because somebody, I don't know how he's going to Skype. He can barely operate, like, an email. But
hey,
there was this one time I had to get him to like write something for this show, like it was his bio, and it, you know, I was like kept on waiting for him to give me an email, and finally he comes to me and he gives me an envelope, and it's this long handwritten cursive bio.
Wow, cursive! Like, oh, I haven't written cursive in forever.
So the Pryor Awards has become a regular fundraising event for the Gilbert Theater, in which they present awards to some of their best performers, directors, crew members, people who, you know, they owe money. And it's voted on throughout the season by audience members. The event includes some musical performances. I believe this year they will have some performances from Young Frankenstein, which they did last season. And they will have food and wine. So if you don't go home with an award, then at least you can drink your sadness away.
That's fantastic.
Yes.
Something for everyone.
Yep. And after that,
July 2nd, there's going to be a special free preview listening party of an upcoming audio play series, which I think everyone has heard about, Kamikaze Club. It's going to be at Greg King's Gallery on 227 Old Street, and it starts at 8 p.m. We are going to listen to the first episode of Kamikaze Club. Guests will be invited to pop a squat and listen to a live reading after that. And we're going to read through a few other episodes with some of the actual members of the cast. The event is free and there will be cake.
Yes.
And possibly some wine or champagne. So come listen to it. And if you hate it, at least, like James said, you can come drink your sadness away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That should be in the fine print of every play. Like, if you don't like it, get drunk.
Following the Kamikaze Club preview show, July 6th through the 24th at Thalian Hall in Wilmington, North Carolina, they will be performing the musical 1776. by Sherman Edwards and Peter Stone. 1776 is, of course, the story of 1,776 adorable Dalmatians who go on a wild adventure trying to steal the Hope Diamond. Alternatively, I think it might have to do with the American Revolution or something along those lines, maybe. But I heard there will be Dalmatians on stage.
Yeah.
Yes,
yeah.
It might be a rumor.
Yeah, well, you know, I figured it was a follow-up to 101 Dalmatians, and they just add more Dalmatians with each iteration.
So I heard Glenn Close is actually going to be there, too.
Yeah.
Maybe, possibly. Being one of the Dalmatians.
And the actual Dalmatians from the original movie will be there. They're all decrepit and like, barely
living.
Oh, that's
sad. Let's move on. Let's get off that.
Yeah, think about that. Dogs. Probably all of those dogs in the original movie are dead now. Just all those puppies. My name is Richard Henry Lee. Virginia is my home. And may my horses turn to blue if I can't deliver unto you a resolution. On July 20th through the 24th, the Gilbert Theater will be holding their second annual Next Stage Play Festival, which will feature 6 short original plays in 10 frickin' days. 6 plays! That's like a whole season in 1 week.
Whoa!
Yeah! They're all like original, so, you know.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I mean, 6 plays, I figure like...
Why isn't it 10 plays in 10 days?
July
20th through the 24th, that's only 4 days.
Well, I'm just copy and pasted what they said.
That doesn't make any sense.
July
20th through the 24th, they're going to do 6 plays in 10 days. That's amazing. That literally defies the laws of the calendar laws originally adapted by the Mayans.
Okay, hold on. Let me look at the press release again.
Did the Mayans come here on the Mayflower?
Yes.
Is that how that works? I think that's also discussed in 1776. The Dalmatians and how the Mayans immigrated here. Via the Mayflower.
That's the description of the thing. Says 6 plays in 10 days, and the dates are,
July 20th through the 24th. That's...
They're going to break the laws of space and time for this.
Wow. Now I have to go to this. You guys have to go. Gilbert Theater. 6 plays in 10 days, taking place over 4 days in July. I'm intrigued.
This is exciting. I think maybe they recycled the press release they had for, like, their last season, and maybe, I don't know.
Derek Smith and James Dean are some of the directors, and I know that they listen to this podcast. So, hey, if you guys have any input, please write us or comment, and please explain how you are going to do 6 plays in 10 days over the course of 4 days. Please explain.
That would be awesome. So,
you send us... All right.
Okay.
Moving on. Well, all right. Well, finally...
Yeah.
July 14th through July 24th. So Fayetteville Sweet Tea Shakespeare Company will be closing their 2015-2016 season with a performance of Measure for Measure. This was written by the beloved British writer, you guessed it, J.K. Rowling.
J.K. Rowling.
Yeah. Is that how you say it? Rowling? Rowling.
Rowling. Yeah, no, Rowling.
Anyway.
But I'm not sure that the person wrote that.
No, she wrote it. It was under her pseudonym, William Shakespeare. Duh.
Oh, well. Like,
yeah.
So she wrote all those. She writes everything, basically.
Well, I can either confirm or deny that.
She also, like, Stephen King is one of her other pseudonyms.
We weren't supposed to put that out on public broadcast.
Oh,
anyway. Measure for Measure is one of Bill's lesser-known shows, but it is a classic nonetheless. The play is both a comedy and a tragedy, or it's just a really unfunny comedy or a really hilarious tragedy. No real way to know what exactly was going through the heads of people when this thing was first performed, because opium was still really popular back then. The play explores human hypocrisy, as a leader leaves a deputy in charge of his city and a brother asks a sister for a sacrifice to save his life. You know, comedy.
Yeah, so next week we will be talking a bit more about the upcoming seasons for the Triangle area, and we will have a special surprise guest. Such a surprise, even we don't know who it is.
Dun dun dun!
So for now, we're just going to assume it was J.K. Rowling who's going to be on the show. So, tell everyone.
Probably not under her pseudonym, though.
Yeah.
Just the real. J.K.
We'll just claim, whoever it is, will be like, oh yes, this is J.K. Rowling, and her pseudonym is, like, you know,
William
whoever we're able to get.
Yeah. Moving on.
Yeah, so now the main event. Last week we talked about the upcoming seasons for the Temple Theater, the Cape Fear Regional Theater, and the Gilbert Theater, but we neglected to touch on the area's newest theater company, Sweet Tea Shakespeare, possibly because they don't have theater in their name, so we got confused. But I didn't see their upcoming season listed on their website, and in all my years of journalism, it has taught me that if it can't be Googled, it doesn't exist. But fortunately, after last week's episode, area actor who does a lot with Sweet Tea, Nathan Pierce, he sent us an email detailing the next season. He neglected to mention the dates for those shows, but, you know, we're just going to roll with it. So, you got a couple months before this stuff gets started, so hopefully we'll have the dates by then.
But they're not on the website either, so don't try it.
Yes. I looked. This will be, this season will be opening, I am told, through a person who is not necessarily an official source, but it will be opening with Romeo and Julie Lit. What? That's not how that name's pronounced. The story of two children who desperately want to bang or die trying. it is now made less creepy by the inclusion of alcohol. Sweet Tea Shakespeare is bringing Romeo and Juliet back once again, only this time they are calling it Romeo and Julie Lit.
I get it.
Yeah. So basically, they did this with the most recent season as well, where they'll have a production of a Shakespeare show, and they'll include Lit in the name, and that's their way of saying, you're gonna get drunk! So, they will be serving booze to the audience, and I'm guessing the cast might have a few drinks too, but because obviously Shakespeare is too easy to follow when sober, and they want to
make it more interesting.
Yes. Oh, have you ever done Romeo and Juliet?
I have not, actually. I am not a fan of that show. I'm not a fan because it's just done so much. Uh-huh. I guess it's like the one Shakespeare show that like every high school is going to do.
Yeah, I know Sweet Tea actually did this show before.
I haven't done it drunk though.
Yeah,
I would like to do it drunk.
Well, I don't know if they're gonna like go with the like let's use the actual like 14-year-old age of Romeo and Juliet or 14, 16, or however they're crazy young.
Right.
I feel like that. Like,
but you think they're not going to use a 14-year-old?
I feel like it's unlikely they're going to go with the young Romeo and Juliet version because got people getting drunk in the audience. But you never know, you know. Get them started early.
Well, I don't think Juliet's typically played by an actor that is the age of that character.
I think it used to be played exclusively by dudes. So.
Touché.
Yeah, so. Yeah.
Anyway.
Things change. They will be following this up with a production of Behold by someone who definitely isn't William Shakespeare. Or even J.K. Rowling.
Mm-hmm.
And all the Googling in the world gave me zero idea of what this show is about. So this is...
a surprise!
My guess is that it is about the time-traveling adventures of former President Bill Clinton and his cat, Sox.
It's a very good guess.
It's like Mr. Peabody and Sherman with a political twist. But that is a guess based on what I would like it to be about.
You're kind of dating yourself there with the Mr. Peabody and Sherman comment.
You're like maybe 2 years old, younger than me.
I'm just saying.
And also they had a recent movie of Mr. Peabody.
You're a little defensive about how old you're getting.
I just don't want them to take away my license. I just want to keep my... Don't take me. Don't put me in the home. Not yet. After that, Sweet Tea will return to the one thing they do better than producing diabetes-infused beverages. They will be performing the works of one William Shakespeare. This time around, they will be performing... You keep on wanting to do the dun-dun-dun. Like
I need to actually put, like, sound effects in there.
We can add sound effects in the actual show. this time around, they will be performing Shakespeare's famed historic tragedy, Antony and Cleopatra.
Dun dun dun.
I called her Cleopatra. Dun dun dun.
I didn't notice. I wasn't really listening to you though.
Because you were listening to your dun dun duns. The plot follows the relationship between Egyptian Queen Cleopatra and 2000s Latino pop sensation Mark Anthony from the time of the Sicilian Revolt to Cleopatra's suicide during the final war of the Roman Republic. They will be stepping away from the Bard once again, you know, to perform Saint Joan. So after Cleopatra, then they're like, okay, we've had our Shakespeare. Let's do a play by George Bernard Shaw known as Saint Joan. And you know, this is sort of, you know, since the beginning, they've done Shakespeare because, of course, it's in the name of the theater, but they also do other, like, classics. Public domain classics. I think at some point they're just going to change their name to Sweet Tea Public Domain. But,
yeah, that'd be funny.
Straight profit, man. Yeah. But I'm actually pretty stoked about this one, because Saint Joan is, it's one of the more fascinating shows, and one of the most fascinating stories of history for me. It's, for those who slept through history class, Saint Joan is about Joan of Arc, the teenage French girl who either because of divine inspiration or an undiagnosed case of schizophrenia, rose to power, leading an army in a war against the Brits. She eventually did get burned by the stake, and I think the French lost that war, but still badass, and, you know, it still may have been, like, divine, like, maybe God was like, hey, Joan, I really think you should fight this war that you're gonna lose, and...
It builds character.
Yeah. I feel maybe there was a good chance that God was just like, you know, who could I get to lead this war? Ooh, this will be hilarious. Let's have this teenage girl.
You know, God, what is she doing out of the kitchen? She should have been making them sandwiches, is what she should have been doing. Oh. This girl didn't know her place.
Oh, the French don't know how to cook.
That's true.
All right.
Just kidding, guys.
So
ladies.
Now, they also have Paradise Lost coming up.
Oh, we're going to start off with Paradise Lost?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. I was backwards, but all right. I was gonna go from the bottom up, but yeah. All right, so Paradise Lost.
That's a dirty joke
is
there.
Yep, I just skipped right over it because my mom might listen to this. Paradise Lost is a poem, mm-hmm. not written by William Shakespeare, although it's being put on by Shakespeare.
Shakespeare, yeah.
Yep. Okay, so it's written by a 17th century English poet, John Milton.
Mm-hmm.
It's written in blank verse. I really don't know much about this. I had never heard of it before, so there's
you
not...
You never heard of Paradise Lost?
Not that's like a poem. Like, I didn't... Yeah.
You never heard of Paradise Lost?
No.
Oh, my God.
When I read that it was a poem, I was like, oh, they're going to read poetry? Are we going to, like, have to snap at it, the...
Like, you know how many like, derivatives of that, like...
Because I just said I haven't heard anything, so that
the
would...
The Transformers franchise is based on Paradise Lost.
That's you're serious.
they adapted it into a TV show, a little TV show called Will and Grace in the 1990s. Paradise Lost.
I'm sure that's completely accurate information.
Yes.
James just likes to talk. He doesn't actually want me to co-host or read any pertinent information. He just wants...
No.
Well, let me go on. I'm going to go on. So the poem, it... concerns the biblical story of the fall of man. Notice how they said man, not woman.
Yeah, well...
Hear me roar.
They're just talking about the lead character in existence.
The fall of man and the temptation of Adam and Eve by the fallen angel Satan and their expulsion from the Garden of Eden. Milton's purpose was stated in the first book of the poem, and it said it's basically to justify the ways of God to men.
Hmm.
So it's the actual Paradise Lost, the whole poem, it consists of 10 books with over 10,000 lines of verse.
Wow.
Fun fact, right?
Yeah,
that was the first edition, but there was a second edition that was arranged into 12 books. Yep.
Cool. You know?
That's pretty much all the information I have on that. If you know more about it, please feel free to go ahead and chat away, sir.
Well, a lot of people... There was a version of it that was done by Dr. Seuss, which was, I thought, you know, he called...
Is that the Fox and Socks adaptation of it?
Yes, and that was, that's what it was called. It was, you know, it was also a beautiful poet, very skilled poet, but, all right,
so we'll move on since we don't really know much about that, so sorry, guys. The next show they will be putting on is As You Like It, which was written by William Shakespeare, mm-hmm. so that's great. It's a musical comedy. Shocking, yes. Shakespeare wrote musicals. It's not really a musical, but there's four songs in the play that are kind of inserted during the course of action.
Did he include sheet music, or did it just, like, yes?
No, you know how it's, like, formatted in there. I actually know the names of the songs. I looked them up because I was intrigued. Yep, it's Under the Greenwood Tree, Blow, Blow, Thou Winter Wind, What Shall He Have That Killed the Deer, and finally, wrapping things up with It Was a Lover and His Lass.
Oh.
Yeah, so those are the names of songs. That's kind of a fun fact. I like to put fun facts in my reviews.
They sound like songs from the band, like, Live. Remember the band Live in the 1990s?
Oh, geez, yeah. Haven't thought about them in a while. Yeah. Anyway, the story of As You Like It, it follows its heroine, Rosalind, as she flees persecution in her uncle's court. She's accompanied by her cousin, Celia, to find safety, and eventually they find love in the Forest of Arden. In the forest, they encounter a variety of memorable characters, most notably the melancholy traveler Jacques, or Jacques, however you prefer. And he speaks many of Shakespeare's most famous speeches, like All the World's a Stage and a fool, I met in the forest. That guy. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Themes of the show include loves? Yes, there are loves, several loves. Love, injustice, forgiveness, court life versus country life, religious allegory, and music, and all that stuff. It's a classic. I feel like everyone has probably seen some sort of adaptation.
Now, this is another one of the shows that they're putting lit in the name, so it's actually As You Like
Lit. Oh, I totally skipped right over that. Yeah so. It's As You Like It, the play, but As You Like Lit.
So, again, alcohol, booze.
Mm. Woohoo! Yeah.
It sounds like a really good play for drunkenness.
It is good. Actually, George Bernard Shaw complained about it.
Really?
He did. He didn't like it. But what does that guy know, right? Jeez. He
said... George Bernard Shaw, the guy who wrote St. Joan, as mentioned earlier.
Right. That's why I tied that in.
Oh, okay.
Because I was listening. Anyway, he complained about it, and he said it's lacking high artistry of which Shakespeare was capable. What was that guy thinking? George Bernard Shaw, if you're listening, you call me up right now. We're going to have a talksies.
Oh, man.
Jeez. What a punk. He said it was written more like a mere crowd pleaser. Jeez. Wow. Maybe, I guess it kind of is, especially when you add alcohol.
Wow. But
the crowd will be pleased.
I mean, you know, George Bernard Shaw, he was an OG, so, you know, he probably has more place to criticize than I or you, when it comes to Shakespeare, but, dude.
Yeah, Tolstoy didn't like it either. He objected to the immorality of the show.
Shakespeare can't defend himself. He's super dead.
Yeah, right? But Rosalind gets a lot of props. She's an awesome character.
Mm. Yeah, that's
lots of props. Mm, well, yeah. She's among Shakespeare's greatest and most fully realized female characters, according to these notes that I have right here.
What? No, this is all
official
off the top
notes.
Of
my
head.
Bam.
You're giving away the secrets. You're giving away the show. You're showing people.
Yeah.
There's
lots of gender reversals in this show, too, which I think are going to be really funny with alcohol and everything incorporated. It's fun. Funsies.
Cool. So, after that...
We have Othello!
What? Othello?
Yeah. Everyone has heard of this. It's been a play, several play adaptations of the play, movies,
it was William
a ballet.
It was one of the first blaxploitation shows.
Did you just make that up?
No.
Oh.
I just made... it is not a blaxploitation show.
I can't even say that. Blaxploitation. Anyway, it's a tragedy written by William Shakespeare.
And this version, I believe, will be based in the 1970s and be a police drama.
For real?
No.
Oh, man, I can't tell when you're joking. just going to take everything you're saying as a joke today.
Basically.
This is very serious stuff. Anyway, this Othello, the tragedy of Othello, the Moor of Venice, it's based on the story by the Italian writer Cinthio, the story called Un Capitano Moro, which basically means a Moorish captain. Originally published in 1565, but Shakespeare actually wrote it in 1603. The play revolves around four central characters, Othello, who is a Moorish general in the Venetian army.
Moorish was Shakespeare for black.
His wife, Desdemona, his loyal lieutenant, Cassio, and his trusted but ultimately unfaithful ensign, Iago.
Iago? The bird?
Not the bird
from Aladdin?
No, I love that guy. I love Gilbert Godfrey, though.
Affleck.
Yeah, he's so funny.
Yeah.
The themes of this play are racism, love, jealousy, betrayal, revenge, and repentance. I consider it a timeless classic.
Oh. Yeah.
I like this play.
I'm
the
just
actual play,
you've seen it.
Not the. Well, I read the play first, and then I actually went and saw the movie with that guy. I can't remember his name. You know, it's like about the.
Was it with like.
What's his face? I think he was on Dawson's Creek or something. I think it was called O.
Yeah, it was
that
called
film
O.
version. Yeah, it came out in like the 90s or something like that.
She has a degree in theater.
Yeah, which, not movies.
Yeah, I know. I just think it's weird that you actually haven't seen Othello like live.
I have
live.
Seen Othello. I've seen it live. I read it first, though.
Okay, you said, okay.
I'm a good person.
Oh, okay.
Who doesn't see the movie and assumes that they know everything about the play. Because it's
okay.
Very different.
Oh, okay.
I'm a little sensitive today, guys.
I see that.
Yeah.
What are they doing after Othello, though?
Funny you should ask. I had a lot of notes about Othello. We're not going to talk about it. It's fine.
Oh, no.
No, it's fine. It's whatever.
Let's go back to Othello.
It's fine. I had historical context because that's important to a lot of Shakespeare's works, you know, to know what was going on. It was written against the backdrop of the bubonic plague, that happened a lot during that time.
Alternatively, plague is pronounced plague.
I saw plague. Well, you were making fun of me for the way I say bagel. What is bagel? How do you say it? Flag. Plague? Plague.
Plague.
Plague. I have to like, plague. I can't. Bagel. How do you say bagel?
Bagel.
God, you're such a Jew. All right. I can say that because my last name's Goldstein and my heritage has a lot of. We were trying to hide from the Germans when we came over here. That's why we changed the spelling. Anyway, all right. So the bubonic plague was going on, but also Queen Elizabeth I died. During the time he wrote this, like it was kind of
Queen Elizabeth.
Shut up. Anyway,
the
Shakespeare. There's a lot of stuff going on in Othello, like the whole like racism thing. If you've seen the latest season of Orange Is the New Black, like it's a great testament to the Black Lives Matter movement. But it's kind of like that in this play a little bit. Modernize it slightly because Shakespeare he had real life encounters with members of London's African community at the time he was writing it. He would have interacted them as servants, musicians, entertainers, prostitutes, you know, everything that was going on back then. And he was very aware of the struggles that they were enduring. So that's kind of cool to know that he was actively trying to like be a voice for them. All right. We'll move on to the final show of Sweet Tea Shakespeare's season. And that is Cymbeline. Cymbeline.
It's pronounced plog.
Shut up. I hate you. All right. I have not seen the show at all. I didn't really know much about it. So you can go ahead and call me up for that, too. Jeez. It's written by William Shakespeare.
I'm not convinced this is a real show. I mean, I think,
when I first
think
read
Jeremy
Cymbeline,
Feinberg.
I was like, it's like maybe Thumbelina? Like maybe it's a...
I think it was just put on the internet as a red herring. It's just right. Like to throw us off.
This was very interesting. I do want to see it after I read the plot summary, which is too long to go into. But it's listed as a tragedy, but modern critics classify this as a romance or even a comedy. So it's everything.
Basically, it's everything.
Everything, yeah. But like Othello.
It's a jukebox musical. It's everything. It's
just like Othello, which we just talked about, and The Winter's Tale, which is also Shakespeare. Play. It deals with themes of innocence and jealousy. Lots of that. They don't actually know when it was written, but it was produced as early as 1611, so not much is known about this. It is a very interesting plot that it's seemingly displaced, even. Like, it's lots of random things going on. There's, I don't even, hang on, time out.
Willie Shakes wrote a play called Cymbeline.
It's about, so Cymbeline, the title of the show.
It's the Cymbeline.
I don't know how to pronounce it, bro. Anyway, the dude, Cymbi, we're going to call him Cymbi. Cymbi is the king of Britain. He marries a jerk of a lady, and they have an arrogant son, and his name is Cloten.
Cloten.
Cymbi Cloten, and I don't actually know the name of the woman he married, but it doesn't matter because she's apparently kind of a pill. Anyway, so Cymbi arranges the marriage of his daughter, Imogene, to Cloten. And she defies him, ultimately, because that's what teenagers do, and she marries some other guy named Posthumus Leonidas. So Posthumus gets banished because Cymbi's pissed, and sends him off to Rome. But before, Imogene, they had like a little like friendship bracelet thing, whatever. What did Bieber do back in the day? Or Jonas Brothers when they had those promise rings, that's what they're called. Anyway, there's lots of plot lines that happen involving disguises, mistaken identity, deceit, treachery, poison. The villain of the play is Iacmo.
Basically, your average episode of Three's Company. It's
like Iacmo, and he's got a gambling problem. But it has a traditionally comic ending. The villain, Iacmo, of the play confesses to his misdemeanors, and the characters reveal themselves, and all the misunderstandings are resolved, and the lovers are reunited. But it's very hard to follow, even as I was reading the detailed plot summary. It's like, it's all over the place. Like, I read into the criticisms, and this play lost favor with all of the critics in the 18th century. The most famous comments were made by Samuel Johnson, who basically just says it was displaced, and everything just kind of happens like randomly, even like the certain scenes and some of the dialogue. But it's, I want to see it because it's
like we said earlier, opium was really big back then.
Yeah, like it just seems absurd, a lot of things. And if anyone's listening that has actually seen this, please write in and give us your opinion.
NCtheaterstories@gmail.com. Yeah. Theater spelled with an E-R.
Yeah, so this is the last show, Cymbeline, so I'm definitely going to go see it just because I'm intrigued.
Yeah, I mean,
lots of criticism, but like,
it's she's like pages on this thing of notes in this one.
I was trying to figure out, I'm like, what is actually going on in this play, man? There's everything is just the disguises and the betrayals. It's great. It's great. But it's like, I need to see this done in person to really understand what's going on.
Yeah. So it looks like they've got a really great season lined up. And that, I believe, is...
That's the last show.
That's all she wrote. So, and by she, I mean J.K. Rowling.
That's good. It's good. It's good. Good. Good.
I want to thank you guys for taking out the time to listen, and
we love you guys.
We love you guys.
Thank you for all the awesome comments and emails and tweets and stuff from the last episode. That was great. I had no idea that you were going to do that birthday surprise. That was really cool.
That was.
You're a rock star. That was super cool.
Yeah, she immediately called me and said, James.
Like, what?
Sorry. James, you've wasted everyone's time. It wasn't my birthday.
You're such a terrible friend. You don't even know my birthday. No, that was great.
Yes, I'm longing to stroll on Broadway, watching the world go round. To be back where the boys are.